We want to welcome you to Refreshed with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refreshed is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Tuesday to you, Brevard County. This is Bob Arthurs. We want to thank you for tuning in to the Refresh radio broadcast. And welcome to December again, December the 2nd, 2014. And, you know, I don't know about you, but the cold weather has already visited. I don't know how many visits it's going to make this time of year, but it gives you a great opportunity to wear clothes in your wardrobe that you haven't got to wear in a while. And so, by the way, if you complained about the heat in the summertime, do not complain now that it's not hot. And so, and if you complain about the cold now, then don't complain when it's hot later. So I just want to encourage you, just enjoy the season that God brings our way. And life will be good. So we want to thank our sponsors. We haven't mentioned them here in a few days. And that is we have Creative AC Solutions. And I don't have their phone numbers written down here in front of me today like I normally do. But we do want to mention them. And then Jits Concrete and Coco. You can listen to some of the other broadcasts and I mentioned all of these. We have Advanced Christian Theology School, and that they meet in our fellowship hall on Tuesday nights from 6 until 9 p.m. And then also Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electrical. And so if you have any needs for any of those services, if you'd like to grow in your relationship with the Lord, we have a free Bible school that's available for you on Tuesday nights. If you have air conditioning solutions, we have two different friends of the program there that will could help you out with air conditioning or heat. One of them is also electrical, and then if you have concrete work. And so we want to say thank you to our sponsors for all that they do to help bring the Refresh radio broadcast to you. And I just want to say thank you again to those who have been calling in and let us know that you are listening. The program's being a blessing to you. You have no idea how encouraging that is. And we just want to say thank you for tuning in and listening. So we have been talking for several weeks about who God is, what his name is, what his nature is, how he reveals his nature through the various names that are utilized. And if I could just do a quick recap, if you will, a quick summary over some of the things we've talked about. We've talked about that his name is Jehovah. He is the self-existent, the eternal one. He is the God who is more than enough. He is Jehovah Jireh, the God who will provide. He is Jehovah Nisi, God our banner and our victory. He is Jehovah Shalom. He is God our peace. He is Jehovah Shammah, the God who is there. He is the Lord, our shepherd. He is the Jehovah Tsidkenu, God, our righteousness. He is Jehovah Salah, God, our forgiveness. Jehovah Yasha, the Lord, my deliverer. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals us. And then we've also been touching, and hopefully these texts have not caused you to shake your head and rattle your eyes and stuff like that. I didn't want to focus so much on the name of the person as much as what it reveals about God. And so these are some of the things that we talked about, that God knows what's going on in our life, and he is concerned and aware of it. He knows what we have need of before we even ask, that we are loved by God, that God is not only the omnipotent God, but he is the God who wants to strengthen us. He is the God who is alive. He is the God who understands and has a thorough grasp of the circumstances we are facing in our life. He is the God who is gracious. He is the God who establishes and sets up. He is the God who is generous. He is the God who gives. He is the God who contends. And he is the God who is exalted. And so today we are going to talk about out of 1 Kings chapter 15. On yesterday's broadcast, we dealt with Jehoram, which meant God is exalted. And today we want to talk about his dad, and that was his dad's name is found in 1 Kings chapter 15, verse number 24. So Asa rested with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David, his father. Then Jehoshaphat, his son, reigned in his place. And it's probably just the wise guy inside of me, but every time I hear about the name Jehoshaphat, I remember somewhere in my childhood somebody saying, "Great jumping Jehoshaphat." And I don't know where that came from, but every time I read his name, I have a flashback to that saying, "Great jumping Jehoshaphat." And so anyway, Jehoshaphat is another name that reveals God. And just go ahead and say, "Oh me," because what this reveals about God is one of the most unpopular and unpleasant revelations for unrepentant man that there is. For Jehoshaphat, that name means God is judge. God is judge. Not just that God is a judge, but God is the judge. He is the supreme judge. He is above and beyond the Supreme Court of the United States of America. He is above the world court. He is above your opinion. He is the judge. There is no appealing higher than there is to God. And so, first of all, if I can, I just want to take you, let me take you to Isaiah 33 first. Isaiah 33, and we've been talking about this in our vintage service, this passage in Isaiah 33, verse number 22. It says, "For the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king, he will save us." So there's actually five verses in Isaiah 33, verse number 22. It talks about he is Jehovah, he is the Lord. And the second revelation is that he is our judge. The third is that he's our lawgiver. The fourth is he is our king. And the fifth is he is our savior. And we will talk about another one of those aspects on tomorrow's broadcast. But today I want to talk to you about the one that is the least desired, or the it makes people the most uncomfortable in 2014. And that is that the Lord is our judge. And that means that he is going to evaluate, he is going to make decisions. He is the one who is qualified to determine. He does not make decisions on partial facts. He does not make decisions on slanted information. He is aware of everything that goes on, your life, my life. He knows the thoughts and the intents that we have in our heart. He knows everything there is. He knows what we did, when we did it. He knew the motives and the intents that we did it in our heart. And he knows if we're going to be rewarded or if there are going to be consequences for the acts. And as I'm thinking about the Lord our judge, I go back to Psalm 42 and 43. And those two psalms are linked because it keeps saying over and over again, I believe it's three or four or five times in those two psalms, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help and countenance and my God," the help of my countenance and my God. And so I believe it's, let's see if I can count them real quick. One, two, three references in those two psalms where those exact words are mentioned. In Psalm 43, the psalmist begins that psalm and he says, "Vindicate me, O God." Vindicate me, O God. And so I will share with you about some of the qualifications of God, our judge, here in just a moment. But I want to start off with this. The psalmist here says, God, vindicate me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man, for you are the God of my strength. And so when I saw that, I could tell you exactly the year when I was encountering this revelation from God. And I can tell you the day that I preached this message, because what happened was, as when I preached this message, I preached it, and I looked up the meaning of that word vindicate in the Hebrew, because I wanted to know what vindicate meant. And I don't just go to the English dictionary. I go back to my Greek and Hebrew lexicons, and I look up the meaning of the word, and there was a fivefold reference there, and one of those meanings was, God, you judge me. You judge me. And I think that is a tremendous thing to realize, that we can appeal to God to be our judge. David said when he was confronted with three choices of ramifications in his life, he said, let me fall into the hands of God, not into the hands of men. And even in the midst of, you know, one was for 3 years, one was 3 months, and I believe the other one was 3 months, and then the last one was 3 days. But God, even in the midst of dispensing that judgment against Israel at that time, he had mercy, and he cut that time short, and he told the angel to stay his hand. Because mercy triumphs judgment. God is a God of mercy, but he is also a God of justice. The angels proclaim that that God is righteous and true in all of his judgments. That when he makes a decision, it is not because he self-imposed himself. It is when he makes a judgment, when he decrees something from the throne, it's because he has the right to it, he has the understanding to do it, he has the power to do it. And so the psalmist here cries out, God, I want you to judge me. I want you to judge me. And there are a lot of people today who are, let me just tell it to you the way that I tell our congregation. When I was growing up, if you were to go up to somebody and you were to ask them to quote you a passage of Scripture, the first passage of Scripture that we learned as kids was John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And then you add verse 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And, you know, that was, you know, a revelation of what Jesus did for us, that he came because God loved us, sent him to die on the cross for us, shed his blood so that our sins could be forgiven and that we could have eternal life. Great news. Now, in 2014, if you ask people to about their life, and then you start trying to address circumstances in their life that may be out of alignment with the word of God, they will say something like this. Well, judge not, lest you be judged. Who are you to judge me? You know what? I'm nobody to judge you. I'm nobody. But the word of God, let me just make this revelation very, very clear today. God's eternal judgment when we are in his person is going to perfectly line up with his word. And so while society is trying to undermine and redefine his word so that they do not have to deal with the issues of their life that are displeasing and are abomination in God's sight, whether that's pride, whether that's greed, whether it's idolatry, whether it's sexual sin, whether it's vocal sin, whatever it might be, anything that does not line up with God, whether it's stealing or coveting or jealousy or fits of rage, any of that stuff, God has already put into the Word of God what the judgments are going to be for that. The judgment options are getting into heaven and being rewarded. Some are going to be saved but lose their reward. And then the third option is people who have refused to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They will be removed from his presence for all of eternity. You say that's very harsh. And I want you to know that that is what, that's not what God wanted, that is what they chose. They had rejected God. They said, God, I don't want to have anything to do with you. I don't want to have anything to do with your people. Don't want to have anything to do with your word. And God says, that's not my plan for you, but I gave you the ability to choose. Every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So let me go back to the vindication aspect there. The first reference to that is judge me. And so you and I, we need to constantly be coming to God and to his word and say, God, I want you to point out anything in my life that is out of line with your word. Now, I want you to know that I'm not just preaching at you today. I'm preaching to us. There was a program a few weeks ago, and I was here. I was teaching, and while I was teaching, the Holy Spirit was dealing with me in my life about one of the issues that I was teaching about on the radio program. It's a really interesting phenomena to try and continue to speak all the while your ear is being filled up with the Holy Spirit and saying, you know what, that's something that is displeasing in my sight. And so even though the words may not have come out over the air, what was going on in my heart is, God, please forgive me of that area of my life. Now, it you know, for some people, it wouldn't be anything earth shattering or anything like that. They're, you know, but for me, I don't want the Holy Spirit to have to beat me over the head with a 2x4 to let me know that something in my life is out of line. I want him to be able to speak a still small voice. And so judge me. That's when was the last time you asked God in your prayer time to judge you and see if there was any unclean thing in your life? Well, the psalmist did that. Another meaning of that, that word that is translated vindicate here in the New King James Version, is that, God, if there's anything out of order in my life, I want you to discipline me. Now, how is that for a mature prayer? I want you to bring the discipline into my life. And God, the third thing I want you to do is I want you to correct me. I want you to correct me. Did you know that on any journey that you take, there are probably going to be at times need for course correction, whether it's we made a wrong turn or we had to deviate for this or we had to deviate for that. And if you have one of those GPS devices, if you have to get off of the road that it's telling to get you on, and say maybe you have to stop and get gas or get something to eat, and that GPS will be saying things like this: in 500 feet, make a U-turn. In 500 feet, make a U-turn. In 500 feet, make a U-turn. And if you pass that, in 500 feet, make a U-turn. And it just keeps on telling you the correction that needs to be made. And so God is our judge. He is able to determine if something is displeasing in his sight. He is able to correct, to discipline us, but he's also able to correct us and get us back on the path. But there were two other meanings, and one meant revenge and one meant avenge. Revenge and avenge. Now, I understand revenge, and by the way, I want to encourage you are not commissioned by God to take revenge. The Bible says very clearly, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. And so you do not want to touch what belongs to God. You want to leave that in the hands of the court, so to speak. You want to leave that in the hands of the judge. And so do not try and get revenge for yourself. God will get revenge for you. Revenge is an act that has been done to us, and God causes there to be a reaction because of that initial action. But then I was curious about the word avenge, and God, I was saying, God, what is that? And now, you know, they've got superhero movies out there called the Avengers and all of that sort of stuff. And I remember the Avengers from when I was a kid and with the comic books. And I'll be honest with you, the movies are cooler now than the comic books were as when I was a kid, as far as I'm concerned. But avenge to me speaks about something that the enemy wanted to do in my life, but God stopped him from doing it. But God knew what he had in his heart. And so as a result of that, we can cry out, God, avenge me of my enemies, and he will take care of whatever Satan wanted to do you harm for. And so today I want you to know that God as our judge is not a bad thing. It's a great thing. I want God to be my judge. I want him dealing with areas of my life so I can bring and make the necessary corrections before it is too late and course correction is no longer an option. In Revelation chapter 15, verse number 3, it says, they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy, for all nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments have been manifested. And so I want you to know that today God is not just the God who is the judge. He is not just the supreme judge, but he is making just decisions, not corrupt decisions, and he is going to manifest his judgments. When it says in the Word of God that God is for you and not against you, I want you to take great joy in that, because that judgment is going to be manifested. Let it be ordered is a statement that is made. I remember when I was watching the Ten Commandments movie as a child with Yul Brynner as Pharaoh. So let it be written, so let it be done. And in other words, it was like, I'm not just saying this, I'm issuing a decree, and that judgment is going to manifest itself. When God the judge speaks, his word goes forth and it accomplishes the task that it was set out to accomplish. In Revelation chapter 16, verse number 5, it says, you are righteous, O Lord, the one who is and who was and who is to be, because you have judged these things, for they have shed the blood of the saints and the prophets, and you have given them blood to drink, for it is their just due. And so I just want you to know that God, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let me read verse number 7. And I heard another from the altar saying, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments. True and righteous are your judgments. You are the Lord God Almighty. And so praise God for such a wonderful, wonderful God. Now in Revelation chapter 20, we're just going to kind of touch on these things. This is the problem with only having a short program here. You don't get to go into this stuff extensively, and we could park here for a long time, but we're not going to do that. But in Revelation chapter 20, it says, then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, and from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast in to the lake of fire. Quite simply, there are two judgment seats in heaven. One is called the Bema Seat of Christ. It is the judgment seat of Christ. It is the judgment seat before which believers stand, those who have asked Jesus to forgive them of their sins and be the Lord of their life. There, it is not a judgment of whether or not we are going to spend eternity with Jesus. It is a judgment of the things that we have done, whether we have acted in faith or whether we have not, whether we've done things for our pleasure or for our glory or for the glory of God. And it is going to be a trial by fire. And it says that there will be some works that will be lost because they weren't done for the glory of God. Some are going to come shining forth as gold, metal, and precious stones. And it says that that person shall be saved, but they shall suffer loss. They will lose part of their reward if what they have done, how they've lived their life, has not been for the building of the kingdom of God. The second judgment is a judgment you do not want to have any part of. It's the it's what we talked about here in Revelation chapter 20. It is the great white throne judgment. The people who stand before this are people whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The only way to get your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life is to ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins and be the Lord of your life, to empower you to live in a manner that is pleasing and acceptable in His sight. And it says there that we will be judged according, or that those people will be judged according to their works. But see, the Christian does not get into heaven by their works. They get into heaven because Jesus has saved them. And so today, I want to talk to you and say, if you have been delaying, if you have been postponing asking Jesus to forgive you of your sins, delay no longer. Don't wait any longer. If I could, just one more quick passage here in Revelation chapter 21, verse number 6, it says, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." You could go on and you could continue on reading down, and you could find that God makes faithful judgments. The question that a lot of people have is, who is God and who made him judge? He is God the judge. Nobody appointed him. It is who he is. It is his. Heaven is his abode. And today, he is the one. He tells you in advance, you have the option of choosing Jesus to be the Lord of your life. You don't have to have a part in that great white throne judgment where the result is people are cast out of his presence forever. Today, I encourage you, allow God to forgive you of your sins and be the Lord of your life. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I pray today, Lord, I want to thank you for the mercy in my life, and I want to thank you for the forgiveness that you have made available to all of us. Lord, I pray that everyone listening today would have their name written in your book of life. In Jesus' name, we'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."